Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A summer study committee is considering legislation to address a decades-long issue of public access to bodies of water over private property. Earlier this year, the South Dakota Supreme Court reaffirmed a decades-old decision, which says state lawmakers are to define what the beneficial use of these really is. Critics of the legislation say the bill doesn't do that. SDPB's Lee Strubinger joins us to discuss the bill and what might happen with it in the coming weeks. He is in our Rapid City studios. Lee Strubinger, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So tell us about this bill. The authors of it are calling the legislation a compromise that honors recreational use and respects property owners. What did they come up with?
So this bill has 20 sections to it. The legislation proposes reopening about 30 non-meandered bodies of water that Game Fish and Parks closed off access to earlier this year after the South Dakota Supreme Court decision. The bill declares that all non-meandering bodies of water are open to the public unless the owner declares otherwise. They can, post that it's closed off, or they can use buoys or signage to kind of declare, where recreationists can and cannot go. The bill also gives Game Fish and Parks the authority to negotiate with landowners for public access to waters that, you know, landowners might have closed off. Private property owners can notify Game Fish and Parks if they're closing off any section of their land to the public, and then Game Fish and Parks can then, you know, update their GPS maps, their guides, the website, and that kind of lets recreationists know and identify where hunting and fishing, you know, are permitted on these bodies of water. Recreationists can still only access these lakes via, you know, like public roadways, public right-of-ways, and other legal means. And here's where the bill gets a little interesting. Game Fish and Parks can set up a process where the public can petition Game Fish and Parks to open up like a piece or a portion of water or ice that allows them to gain access to a different non-meandering lake that is open for recreational use. So it's not really using the lake for recreation, but rather just as a throughway. So it's kind of like a no loitering type thing, but they just go right on through to this different non-meandered lake. It does have an emergency clause on it, which means, you know, that's going to require two-thirds majority support in order to pass.
So there are a lot of folks interested and involved in this dispute, this decades-old dispute. What are you hearing from them, Lee?
So, you know, by and large, I'm hearing from that landowners are relatively happy with the legislation, and some recreationists are not. That said, you know, those angles on the legislation aren't really mutually exclusive. I heard some landowners testifying against the bill on Wednesday. I don't think lawmakers were under the illusion that they would come up with a bill that both parties would love. You know, I did talk with Bob Whitmire over the phone yesterday, and he's a Day County landowner who I met when I visited northeastern South Dakota roughly a month ago. He says this bill is kind of this one last stick in their bundle of rights for their property, which is the control of access.
Abilities, we can't raise cattle on flooded lands, we can't raise crops on flooded lands, but we at least need to be able to fence, you know, because the cattle need to drinking is part of what they need, and the water does go down. We typically lose 1 to 2 feet per year, so as the water recedes, the cattle need to follow that. So we can't fence them away from that, and we need the freedom to be able to put those fences out in the water and control the animals too.
However, Whitmire says, you know, landowners' primary concern is being ignored, and that's really proper water management.
This has been non-addressed. I mean, you know, we're obviously getting some evaporation now, and I hope that continues. But, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, we could go through the same cycle again. And it really would be nice and comforting, I guess, to know that there are plans in place not to go through this again and have so much flooded property in the state of South Dakota that is detrimental ultimately to the to the whole economics of the state.
So Whitmire and other landowners say they feel like they're kind of being forced by the state to hold on to this water so that, you know, people from Minnesota and North Dakota can come and fish in the state. You know, several landowners in Day County say they'd much rather farm that ground and raise cattle as opposed to, you know, having fishing and duck hunting on their property. And that's really what Whitmire means when he speaks about the economics of the state.
But that's the thing, right? You touched on it earlier, people from in and out of state, Minnesota, North Dakota, coming to northeastern South Dakota to hunt and fish, and that's sales tax revenue as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what sportsmen contend in this issue. You know, kind of pick your poison, right? Area bait shops and motels and resorts would kind of go out of business by, you know, closing access to these non-meandered bodies of water. And, you know, if that water was ultimately gone.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to SDPB's Lee Strubinger about the issue of non-meandering waters and some potential compromises on the table. And Lee, there's already talk of calling a special legislative session to consider the legislation maybe as soon as June 12th. How common is the occurrence of a special session?
So since 2000, there have been 5 special sessions. So over the course of 17 years, 5 special sessions, 2 of which were devoted to legislative map redistricting. And those are fairly regular in terms of getting called every decade, you know. But in terms of calling a special session for the purposes of a really pressing issue at the time, you could really say there's only been 3 in the last 17 years. Also recall, last year there was a push to call a special session to expand Medicaid for 50,000 South Dakotans, but that was ultimately not called because the idea lacked support among lawmakers.
All right. So how is that determined? How do they sort of gauge the support for a measure and make that final decision?
Sure. Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. So I reached out to Governor Dennis Dugard's chief of staff, Tony Venhuizen, and he said there's typically an effort, or there is an effort, to reach out to lawmakers, you know, to understand where they're at on the bill.
You can't ask a legislator to vote for something without taking the time to talk to the legislator about the proposal, answer questions, and so forth. That's something that our office might be involved with, but also there are a lot of other legislators who are working on these issues who would do that. May also be some of the people representing the landowners or the sportsmen who would also help with that. So it's a big team effort, but yeah, certainly every legislator would be reached out to beforehand.
So, and, you know, since this bill has an emergency clause attached to it, that would mean, you know, a 2/3 majority is needed to pass this bill so that it would go into effect immediately. As we mentioned earlier, House Majority Leader Lee Qualm, he chairs the Committee on Regulating Non-Meandered Waters. And yes, he said there could be a special session as early as June 12th. Now, if the bill was passed with a simple majority on June 12th, they couldn't get the 2/3, that would take 90 days to go into effect after the governor signed it. You know, and by then, a lot of the prime summer fishing months would be kind of wrapping up or close to finish, and that would be roughly early September.
And how much would this special session cost the taxpayers?
So if legislators are called into session, they'll receive per diem and 5 cents per mile of for every mile of travel. Sorry. And Venhuizen said that usually totals up to be around $50,000.
So critics of the bill say it doesn't do what the Supreme Court said lawmakers need to do. It doesn't define the beneficial use of waters. How come?
Well, during testimony, public testimony on this bill, Matt McCauley was presenting this bill, and he's a lobbyist and a lawyer from Sioux Falls. He helped write this legislation. He represented the Dury and Herr families in the case that ultimately made it to the state Supreme Court. He represented the landowners. He said during public testimony of the bill that they didn't define beneficial use because the interested parties couldn't really come to an agreement on what that looked like. McCauley says defining beneficial use would create more problems than it solves. And that's exactly where sportsmen really oppose this legislation. I spoke with Bill Antonides on the phone yesterday as well. He's with the South Dakota Wildlife Federation, and I also talked with him when I visited northeastern South Dakota. Antonides says if the bill passes as written, someone we'll probably get arrested within weeks and take it to court, and we'll be back to square one. He says this legislation, you know, ultimately kicks the can down the road.
These people that were suffering, or that are suffering now, they're going to be suffering again, and we're going to go through this again until the legislature gets it right. And all the legislature really has to do is to say that recreation is a beneficial use of public waters, or say it's not a beneficial use. They can do either way. They can say, you know, water should be used for hunting or fishing or skiing or ice skating or whatever. They have that option to say, no, it's not a beneficial use.
So the committee tasked with regulating these non-meandered waters, they're going to convene again in a week to decide whether this legislation goes forward. That could ultimately lead to the special session we're talking about. And the governor has indicated that he supports the bill, so now all we do is wait.
All right. SDPB's Lee Strubinger, thanks so much for your continued coverage of the issue.
Thank you.